Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have the special segment, Stump the Mom, where we answer the question, what is the most popular birthday? And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 171. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Shauna.
As we do every week, I want to dive right in with your check-in and see what's going on with you guys.
Yeah, so my two sons, Augie and Sebastian, are 2.5-ish years old and 7 months old. And we've actually had just a very chill, fun week. I don't have, like, any earth-shattering news, any big dramatic reveals, just a happy week, which I'm down with. I'm fine with that.
Cool. That's great.
Yeah, but there are a few things I want to report on. The first one is with Augie, my toddler. He's 2 years and 8 months, according to my notes, which I would never know without my notes, as everyone knows. And I was under the impression that we had until a later date, like maybe around age 3, before we got to this phase that I'm about to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's here in full force. And that phase is the why phase.
Yes. Okay. I'm familiar with that. Elle has gone through that. Cece's not there yet. Mm-hmm. So what's it like?
So it's like getting the nth degree about every little thing. I mean, and it's not just why questions. It's who, what, when, why, like just every kind of question under the sun. Yesterday, we literally got the why is the sky blue question. And we're like,
aw, he's thinking. That's so smart.
He's totally thinking. It's very sweet and so fun to hear him come up with these questions because he really does come up with some unusual questions and things you kind of take for granted. And there's definitely questions we're not prepared for. Like Corey and I had a whole discussion about why is the sky blue? Like we both had our vague memories of what we had been taught, but like didn't have a good, you know, solid answer. So I have to say that the why phase is much easier for parents these days than it probably was before, because all we have to do is pull our phone out to find out the answer.
I know. You don't have to go to the bookshelf, find the encyclopedia, they have a good entry on sky blue.
Yeah. Yes. But I also think, like, I feel like there's probably a lot of people being like, back in my day, we didn't have the internet. And, you know, there's always people who think that that's a bad thing, that you just pull out your phone and get the answer right away and you don't even have to think about it or whatever. But I also think it leads to less misinformation. And that's something I'm very, like, pro. I'm very behind not giving my son misinformation about things, you know, not teaching him the wrong thing or just, like, not answering because I don't know. And this is happening a lot. There's a lot of things that I actually can't Google properly because there's like Star Wars questions like, who is that character? Where are they going? And I'm like, I don't know. You got to wait till dad gets home.
Yeah.
But it is really fun. And I wanted to actually play you a voice memo. I was able to get a little bit of this captured on audio because it's so cute. So to set this up, I have been recently singing On Top of Spaghetti to Augie. Do you remember that song?
Oh, yeah. That's a cute one.
Yeah. So for people who don't know, it's On Top of Spaghetti, all covered with cheese. I lost my poor meatball when somebody sneezed. And then, like, there's a whole thing that happens with the meatball. I had to look that up, too, because I didn't remember past, like, the next verse.
Rolled out the door or something.
Yeah. It turns into mush, becomes a tree. Like, it's a whole thing. So I got Augie asking follow-up questions with On Top of Spaghetti.
Why?
Someone dropped a meatball on the floor because they sneezed. They went, choo! And it rolled all the way on the floor, all the way out the door, into the garden.
Why? Go in a bush.
That's just where it landed. That's where it ended up.
Why it grew in a tree?
It grew into a tree so that you could have more meatball and tomato sauce. It made a big meatball tree, huh?
Why did someone was happy for meatball coming?
Why would you be happy if there were more meatballs coming? Well, because if you like meatballs, you would be happy for more meatballs. Do you like meatballs?
Well, why? They were out the door.
Someone sneezed so hard it rolled that far. That'd be a big sneeze, huh? Achoo!
Achoo.
Achoo.
A bit of sneeze. Achoo!
Achoo.
He's really got his wheels turning about that meatball song.
I mean, the follow-up questions, right? It's just like, why did it roll out the door? Why are the children happy if there's more meatballs?
So curious.
Yeah, so curious. And I feel like so far I've been pretty patient with it, but I can see how this might get exasperating. So I'm totally open to any tips or tricks on how to like move through the day without getting totally bogged down by these why questions. Like, how did it work out with Elle? Like, she strikes me as a very curious young lady.
Yes. Well, look, if I had the time, I would definitely Google an answer because I would be curious, too, about, you know, scientific things like why is the sky blue? But you don't always have that time to stop and give them correct information. No. So there's a couple things to do. First of all, I often, very often, just be like, I don't know. I'm not sure about that right now. Or turn it on them. Oh, that's a great question. What do you think? I hear that technique a lot from parents in my parenting groups. Like, just turn it on them and have them ponder and come up with answers and think about things, too.
Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to start using that for sure. But yeah, so, I mean, we're just in why land, and it's very fun for now. Hopefully it doesn't get annoying. So that's what's going on with Augie. And then with Sebastian, his big thing this week is he's really, really, really trying to crawl on all fours.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, he's been doing the like army combat crawling where he's like on his belly, but he scooches himself forward for a while now. I don't even remember how long it's been, but for a good enough amount of time that like it feels like he's been doing it forever. But this week he's finally like getting up onto all fours, like, you know, doing that thing where he's like rocking back and like trying to get that core strength so that he can start moving. And
Is he doing any planks?
He does like V's, you know, like he gets on his on his toes, but his butt is in the air, but he's not doing like a true plank. Like he's doing like the kind of plank I would try to get away with in Pilates class. And the teacher would be like, move those hips down. I'm like, no, it's too hard.
The modified version.
Yes, the modified version. Exactly. But he's really, really focusing and he will just practice. Like he is such a focused little guy. I'll go into our playroom, which I've set up as a yes space, and I'll just put him down and I swear he'll play for like a good half hour without me needing to intervene. And like most of that time, he's just kind of practicing his gross motor skills. You know, he's like getting up on those knees, giving a good practice. We have a nice play mat in there, you know, one of those baby care play mats that we both love. So he has some little cushioning on his knees and a little grip. And yeah, he's just working hard.
Does the helmet make it difficult for him? Is he top heavy?
No. So first of all, the helmet weighs next to nothing.
Oh, okay.
And to be honest, like it's made out of foam. So it's like barely weighs anything. And he's super used to it. Maybe it causes a little bit of like peripheral vision issues, maybe a tiny bit extra weight. But I don't think he even notices it anymore. But it actually does affect him a little bit. And I think it's actually a positive, or at least like in his opinion, a positive, because it cushions his falls. So when he's practicing these skills, you know, sitting up and moving around and rolling around and stuff, he can bonk his head without repercussion.
Right. I think they sell products for crawling babies that they can wear on their head to protect them, right?
Yeah. And I've, of course, worried, like, you find something to worry about no matter what. So I'm worried that, like, it will make him overly ambitious when he gets the helmet off and he's going to get, like, head injuries because he doesn't know how to protect his head. But for now, it's nice because there have been numerous times where I'll like be looking at my phone while he's in the yes space sitting next to him or whatever, but not really paying attention. And I hear like thunk.
Oh, ouch.
And he's lying there on the hardwood, just like nothing is wrong. But I was like, ooh, that would have for sure been a big bonk if you didn't have that helmet.
No big deal.
Yeah, no big deal. But I also wanted to play a really quick voice memo of Sebastian this week because, you know, you always have to be fair to both your kids. I just have a little voice memo of him laughing. So I thought I would share that to close out my check-in because we've had a lot of feedback from our listeners that they love hearing audio of our kids. So here you go. Here is a baby laughing. Enjoy. Oh, that makes me want to hug him and cuddle him and make him giggle.
You need to. We need to have a visit.
Yes, yes. Oh, so sweet. I love baby laughs.
They're the best, the absolute best. I like do anything to get him to laugh, including making absolutely ridiculous faces in public.
It's worth it.
Yes.
What's dignity? Who cares?
What is dignity when you're a mother? But anyway, that is my check-in. It's been a fun week. A fun week full of questions and answers and laughing.
Awesome.
So how about you? What's new with you guys this week?
Well, we are fine. Cece is 2 years and 9 months now, so she is moving on towards three, which is wild. Something that has been happening is that she has been skipping naps all the time, just does not want a nap, and I can tell she's not tired by nap time, right? She usually goes down around 12, 12:30, and trying to keep that routine these days is, it's just not working. And I think it's ever since Elle started school. Like at first I thought maybe a change in routine was kind of messing with things. Then I was like, well, maybe it's the big bed. But you know, the first week or so she napped fantastic in there. And then I'm like, well, maybe she's just getting older and just has more energy and, you know, I don't know. So yeah, here and there, she's been skipping naps every week or so, like skipping two or three, and then it's like four per week and then five per week. And I'll try to put her down, you know, and then she's just wide awake. And it's so much effort to try to put your kid down in the middle of the day. Like when I'm working, right, it's like, oh, I got to go do the jammies and the diaper and the books and the whole rigmarole. And like just for her to be like, I'm not sleepy, and then wake up anyway. And so I'm like, oh, this is just too frustrating. So I've thrown in the towel. I'm like, forget it. She doesn't want a nap. She doesn't want a nap. If she gets overly tired by day five, she can pass out on the couch. I don't know. Or like if we go for a drive somewhere, she can sleep in the car seat for a little while because the effort is not worth the reward at this point. Does that make sense?
Oh, you don't have to explain it to me because we have been in that position for at least a couple weeks now. I mean, we are done with naps. The final nail in the coffin was him going to school and not napping at school. So I was just like, well, it's never going to happen again. So yeah, we did the same thing. And honestly, for us, it was kind of a relief. Like I didn't realize it at the time because I was so mourning the loss of the nap. I was just like, no, you wanted him to nap till he was 10, you know, but now in retrospect, I realize it is a lot easier to just be like, whatever, like we do quiet time instead, but you don't have to change into jammies. You don't have to do all that routine stuff. You just kind of like go into the room. He goes potty and then like plays for a while and we check in on him.
That's cool.
But like other than that, it's a lot easier. So yeah, I'm right there with you. But my condolences, friend, for the loss of the nap.
Thanks. Yeah, it's just like, oh, okay, Elle's going to school. I'm going to have some time to myself, like especially when Cece's napping. This is going to be great. And then like immediately she was like, fuck that nap. So I don't know. I honestly wasn't too attached to it either way. I was just kind of like, whatever. If she skips a nap, it's fine. And now that we've given him up completely, I don't know. I'm not too sad, but I do need to find a way to occupy her now during that time because there's no quiet time. She's not really going to stay in her room if I put her in there and, you know, try to get her to do that. So, and I just don't want to fight. Like, I have so much going on in my life. I'm just like picking my battles. And I don't know. I'd rather her hang out in my office while I work and read books or play a game or something like that. So that's where we are at.
It sucks, man. And you know, you read all these articles online too. It's like, it's very rare for a child to drop their nap before age three. And I'm like, really? I don't know. I just feel like I'm hearing about it from so many friends. Like my friend Holly, who has a daughter the same age as Augie,
her daughter naps at school 100% of the time and 0% of the time at home. Like, stuff like that, you know? I don't know. It's so interesting. But
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know why these kids don't want to sleep. Sleep is the best.
I know. I know. It's so relaxing. When I was trying to get her to nap, you know, I go in her bed and like put on her comforter and like read a book next to her. I'm like, I want to take a damn nap. She's wired.
Right?
I want to fall asleep. Okay, so that's that. My other check-in is Cece's newest interest.
Okay.
Or obsession, if you will, in life. And I just find this really amusing in light of like how intellectual your two-year-old is, like asking questions about the color of the sky and like pointing out skysaber shooters in like adult encyclopedias.
Skysaber shooter. Amazing.
Don't tell him I said that. He'll never respect me.
Yes, the very intellectual questions of why are children happy if they have more meatballs?
Yes. Okay, so he's like, you know, really into intricate things and thinking about the world. All right. Mm-hmm. Cece's newest interest is one of our couch pillows.
Like a throw pillow?
A throw pillow, yes. One of them. One in particular.
What?
We have a set of two of these white pillows that we got from Target a while ago. I think they're holiday pillows, but they've been on our couch for the last solid 3 years because that's how we roll. But I don't know. Lately, she is obsessed with it. She loves it. She snuggles with it when she like watches TV or reads. She has to take it everywhere around the house. She's like, Mama, I gotta go potty.
It's her lovey.
It is. I'm like, oh, okay. She's like, I gotta bring my pillow. I'm like, what? My pillow? Oh, okay. She like, you know, toddles down the hall with this giant pillow in her arms and like kind of gross, like sets it on the counter, you know, and goes pee. And I'm like, whatever. I'm not gonna argue about this. I'm definitely not gonna get her upset and crying and screaming over this damn pillow.
Okay, so you say you have two, but she always likes the same one, even though they're the same?
Yes, she likes one of them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she can tell the difference or she just simply can't hold to it once because they're so big, but she's gravitated towards this one particular pillow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yesterday, she and I were going to the park to meet some friends, and I'm packing up my backpack with snacks and water, and she's like, Mama, I didn't bring my pillow. And I'm like, what? She's like, I need to bring my pillow. And I'm like, to the park? She's like, yes, put it in the backpack. I'm like, it's not going to fit in the backpack. She's like, couldn't you try?
Can't you try?
I'm like, yes. Yes, ma'am, I will try. And I shove this couch pillow into my backpack. It's taking up all the space in my backpack. It's stuffed to the brim. I like have to shove it in to zip up the backpack. And she's like so happy. She's like, yeah, there we go. I'm like, here we go. This is, wow, this is something else. So we went to the park that day with, you know, some water bottles, some apple pouches, and a couch pillow.
And did she take it out and play with it at the park?
She forgot about it. And I was not going to encourage her to bring it out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I didn't really want it to get that dirty. So she did not. She forgot about it. But she would have, definitely.
And gotten it so dirty. What is the material of this pillow? Like just a cotton pillow or what are we dealing with?
It's got a really soft texture. It's like faux velvety kind of, you know, the kind of material where you rub it one way and it's like really smooth and you rub it the other way and it's got a little bit of grain to it. And it has like an abstract Christmas reindeer. I don't know. She just loves it. We have lots of other throw pillows, different colors, different varieties, but it's this one in particular that she loves.
Well, it's good you have two, so you have a backup in case one gets ruined.
Yeah, true. I might have to put it away for safekeeping.
Yeah.
In case I need to bust it out.
The next step would have to be like going on all your Facebook moms groups, asking if anyone has a 2018 issued Target holiday pillow.
Someone probably would.
Oh, I'm sure they would.
Those groups always work some miracles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that is hilarious.
So that's us. That's our week. Should we move on to our special segment?
Let's do it.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. Allomoves.com, code BFP.
And we're back. So our special segment this week is Stump the Mom, where Shauna and I ask each other trivia questions related to pregnancy and parenting. And we try to see who's got the chops to answer the hardest trivia questions we can find, which sometimes are not that hard. I'm going to admit. And Shauna, you have a better track record than me. We've lost track, but I know that you tend to win these. But I think I've got a good lineup this week.
Oh, good. Well, I'm excited. I like mine too.
Yes. So, but since I introed the segment, you get to ask the first question. What do you got for me?
All right. For $200, Laura. Yeah, exactly. Which popular childhood game was invented for quarantine children during the polio outbreak? Candyland, Chutes and Ladders, Sorry.
Oh, geez. Those are all like really old games. Okay, Candyland, Chutes and Ladders, and Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. I'm just going to go with Candyland because it seems really old timey and it seems like really happy and distractible. Like, massive pandemic going on. Don't worry. We've got candy, a land made out of candy.
Very good. Your logic led you right there.
Yay.
I mean, how sad would it be, though, if they invented the game Sorry? It's like, sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry you got polio. Yeah. No, Candyland. This is from The Atlantic, an article I found. It was invented by Eleanor Abbott, who's a school teacher who actually got polio, and she recuperated in a polio ward, primarily among children during the epidemic of the 1940s and 50s. And she, you know, saw how the isolation and the quarantine was affecting the children and wanted to come up with something that was fun and a fantasy and a distraction for them. So that's why she created Candyland. It was a great distraction. And she really liked the idea of creating a sense of movement for the children who were kind of quarantined and immobilized.
Yeah, because it was a disease that affected kids like severely. As opposed to COVID, which at least like is sparing kids for the most part and relative to the population. I know that polio must have been terrifying for parents. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Back then, because it really, really affected kids. So, yeah, scary, scary times. But that's how we got Candyland.
That's how we got Candyland.
All right.
All right. Good job, Laura. You got that one right.
Thank you. Okay. Off to a good start. Here's your first question. So, as we know, pregnancy is full of not-so-fun symptoms and can even bring on disorders you've never heard of before, like tileism. What the heck is tileism? Shall I spell it for you?
Yes.
Okay, it's P-T-Y-A-L-I-S-M, tileism, okay?
It has two T's at the beginning?
No. P-T. P-T-Y-A-L-I-S-M.
P-T? Like pterodactyl?
Like pterodactyl. P-T-Y-A-L-I-S-M. What is it? Is it excessive sweating? Is it excessive drooling? Or is it excessive swearing?
Well, I would say excessive sweating and excessive swearing definitely characterized my pregnancies. Drooling is so bizarre. It might be something that people haven't heard of related to pregnancy. So I'm going to go with drooling.
Ding, ding, ding. You are correct. Tileism gravidarum is of unknown origin and is usually defined as an excessive secretion of saliva, common in women with nausea and vomiting who might have difficulty in swallowing their saliva. So it's one of these diseases or things that happen during pregnancy that like no one would ever warns you about and is apparently fairly common. And there are case reports of women creating 1.5 liters of saliva a day with tileism.
How much does a non-pregnant average person salivate?
Good question. Let's find out with our friend Google. Who are you, Augie, asking all these good questions? Let's see. Average amount of saliva produced in a day. Okay, so it's hard to find a straight answer. LiveScience.com says between 1 and 2 liters a day. So that actually would be like in the range of normal. I'm wondering if that's like excess saliva or, very interesting. But it is a named disorder that you got right. So 1 point for you.
Well, pregnant people, you can get some extra use out of those drool bibs that you're buying for your newborn.
That's right.
All right. I have another question for you.
Hit me.
Speaking of childhood games, as I was before, this one is slightly related. The Physical Education Hall of Shame, according to pecentral.org, is the place of dishonor where terrible phys ed activities, games, and practices are enshrined so that physical educators can understand why such games are to be avoided. Which common PE activity is not on the Physical Education Hall of Shame list?
Okay.
Relay races, the mile run, duck, duck, goose.
Ooh. So which one is not something that lives in dishonor?
Yeah. Which one is not on the Hall of Shame?
Oh, boy. So the relay race, the mile run, or duck, duck, goose. Oh, boy. Duck, duck, goose, I can see being traumatic. Also, you know, as a kid, like getting picked was hard. I don't know. I can see there being shame involved there. Now, the question is relay race versus a mile run. I'll go with the mile run because it just seems like a straightforward thing that you either do or you don't. I was never good at the mile run, but I don't know how you could be too upset about it. I don't know. That's my answer.
Final answer. Ding, ding, ding. You got it right.
Yay.
The mile run does not live on the Hall of Shame. It's a totally fine physical education activity. According to the site, relay races are kind of pointless because the student gets 20 seconds to go. And then they either like succeed or fail in front of their classmates. Mm-hmm. So it's not really a great PE activity. And then duck, duck, goose, another game of minimal participation. Mm-hmm. The chosen one like gets up, you know, for a second while everyone else sits down. And so it's just not really a great PE activity. So it is not encouraged anymore these days, I guess.
Interesting. I'm all for that. I always felt left out when like the whole game went by and no one picked you once. You know?
Right? I know. It was always the popular kids that always got
popular kids
tapped. You know, the cute boys. Like every person wanted to tap the cute boy. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, ridiculous. So here are some others that are on the Physical Activity Hall of Shame.
Okay.
Kickball, dodgeball.
Dodgeball, of course. Yeah.
Simon Says, Red Rover, and traditional tag, among others.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. My classmate broke her arm playing Red Rover in sixth grade. I remember
no
that.
Way.
Yeah. She came through our arms. It might have even been my hand. I don't remember, but like giving a death grip to the kid next to me. Like, she's not going to break this bond. And she just like flipped over us and broke her arm. Oh, poor girl.
Definitely Hall of Shame there.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully Elle is not playing any of these in her PE classes here.
Hopefully not. Okay, I've got another question for you.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when we all get pregnant, we love finding out our baby's due date. It's so exciting, right? Which doesn't always equate to their actual birth date, but whatever. We love a date to latch onto. We find out if they're going to be like a Sagittarius or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't know anything about astronomy, but here's what I wanted.
Astrology.
Astrology. See, this is why I don't even know what it's called. I don't even know what it's called. But here's what my question for you is. What is the most common birth date in the U.S.? You ready? Is it June 19th, October 3rd, or September 9th?
September 9th.
Dang, girl, you answered fast.
Here's why I say that. Uh-huh. As soon as you were saying your answers, I was like, if she says a September date, I'm picking it because I think that a ton of people get it on during the holiday season and New Year's. And then that translates to a September birthday usually.
Dang, girl, you are fast at the right answer. Yes, you're right.
Woo-woo.
So,
yes.
According to real birth data compiled from 20 years of American births, mid-September is the most birthday-packed time of the year, with September 9th being the most popular day to be born in America, followed closely by September 19th.
Oh.
And I calculated it, 40 weeks before September 9th is December 3rd.
Oh, interesting.
So it's not quite the holidays yet, but it is getting cold, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
People are feeling snuggly, want to get warm.
That's right. So I found this out by after watching a TikTok from a OBGYN who was like, I am so busy. Like, I never knew this, but apparently September is the busiest time for having babies in America. And then that's how I found that out. So
that's interesting. Well, let me ask you this. Did you calculate 40 weeks back or 38 weeks back? Because the first 2 weeks would be a period, right? Or the first part of your cycle.
Oh, you're so smart. I did do 40 weeks. Let's look. 38. Well, I mean, we're smart. We can probably just add 14, but let me do it. 38 weeks before September 9th. Calculate that date. It was December 17th. So we are getting closer to the holidays there. You're right. You're right. All right. All right. Well, you're doing well. I'm doing well.
Yeah.
Are we going to have a perfect game? We'll find out.
I hope so. Let's see. All right. Here is my last question.
Okay.
Besides primates, which other animals have periods? Dogs and giant pandas, bats and elephant shrews, cows and aardvarks.
Oh my God. Well, I know dogs like go in heat and bleed because I had a friend's dog do that and it was really disturbing to me as a child. I don't know. Does that count as a period? I have no idea. But you know what? Since I know nothing about the other animals, I'm just going to go with that. The dogs and giant pandas one.
Okay. And that is incorrect. I know it's so tricky, right? I never knew this. Okay. This is from the Edinburgh Science website. They say, it turns out menstruation is quite rare in the animal kingdom, even amongst mammals. Other primates menstruate, although not as heavily as humans do, and some species of bats and elephant shrews do as well. So that's the correct answer.
What even is an elephant shrew?
It looks like a little mouse rodent with a very pointy nose.
Okay.
So yeah, apparently most mammals don't actually menstruate. What happens is that their endometrial lining reabsorbs back into their body. They don't shed it like a period, like humans, primates, bats, and elephant shrews. And so like when animals like dogs or cows are in heat, the bloody discharge that you see is actually blood that is created during ovulation. The blood vessels in the vagina wall burst because of the blood pressure and the blood comes out that way. So it's not actually a period or menstruation as we know it.
Ah, I see. I see. I feel like we got the short end of the stick in the mammalian world then. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I think we have more periods than any other animal and heavier, thicker flow. Yeah, yay for us.
Woo-hoo. Yay. Good job, humans. Oh, my goodness.
Us and elephant shrews. Who knew we had something in common with a shrew? All right, what's your last question?
So I was thinking we might take a break and then I'll ask you the last question. We'll see if you're able to win.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/BFP.
Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the ringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, we are back, and I have one more question for Shauna. I got two right. She's gotten two right. So if she gets this one question right, she wins the whole thing.
Ooh,
no pressure.
Donkey.
All
no
right.
Crush.
Here is my last question for you. So lactating parents, like myself, often bemoan the lipase in their breast milk because it makes their frozen milk smell soapy or gross. But what does lipase do exactly? Does it break down fats for easier digestion? Does it help create fat during breast milk production? Or does it prevent bacterial growth?
Good question. I haven't the foggiest idea. I'm going to say it breaks down the fat for easier digestion.
Guess what?
What? I'm wrong.
No, you're right, because you could have answered A, B, or C. They were all right answers, Shauna. I gave you a gimme.
You did. You set me up for success.
I did. Because you're my friend. And also, I found it so fascinating. So I learned most of this on the lipase episode of the Milk Minute podcast, which I'm always talking about. And I didn't really know what lipase was until they started talking about it, or I hadn't really thought about it. I knew it was an enzyme, and I was talking about it with my mom, and I was like, I think it breaks down carbohydrates. And she was like, no, lipase, lipids, lipase, it breaks down fats. I was like, oh, okay. So its main job is breaking down fats. But it turns out that human milk contains two different lipases. There's bile salt stimulated lipase, or BSSL, and lipoprotein lipase, LPL. And so one of them, the LPL, actually helps synthesize the fats in your breast tissue. Mm-hmm. And then the BSSL breaks it down in like the gut or in your bottle. So like you pump your milk, it sits there, and the enzyme in your breast milk, BSSL, starts breaking down the fats. And that's what they think causes like the foul smell or the soapy smell, which is why if you freeze it right away, it tends not to have that problem, because at temperatures below, like, I don't know what it is, 40 degrees or something, it gets inactivated. So it's not working to break down all of those fats.
I see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the other cool thing is that they found that the BSSL has been shown to kill Giardia in like laboratories. So not only is it creating fats in your milk and breaking down the fats in your milk so the baby can digest it better, but it's also killing bacteria to keep your milk healthy. Isn't that awesome?
That's amazing.
So when people say like, oh, my milk has lipase in it, you have to be like, I'm very glad about that.
It is a necessary thing to have in my milk. So
it's good. Yes.
Thanks to Heather and Maureen from the Milk Minute podcast for teaching me about this. But guess what, Shauna?
What?
You won the whole thing.
Yay. Good game, my friend. That was a good game.
Lots of new things learned. And I think it's time to move on to our BFBs and BFNs.
All righty. All right, it's time for our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Laura, you are up first, and I'd love to know what you got for us this week.
I have an earth-shattering BFP.
Ooh, well, now I am very excited.
I'm kidding. It's kidney beans.
Oh. All right, tell us about kidney beans.
It's a BFP, though, because, okay, so Augie is becoming or has become a fairly picky eater, right? Like, it's hard finding things he will actually eat on a consistent basis, and he gets fickle about things, and we're trying not to be, like, too much pressure, and I've talked about it on the show, and it's, like, stressing me out, and I'm trying not to show my stress so it doesn't stress him out, and blah, 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 blah. But my BFP is kidney beans, because they are nutritious. They are instant. You just open a can or one of those like Tetra Paks or whatever they call it of them, rinse them off.
Mm-hmm.
And they are loved by Augie. Like, I will put a pile of them in front of him and they will be gone. And he asks for more kidney beans. Yeah. So
awesome.
There you go. I feel like, you know, they're full of fiber. They're like, they're just a good food. And I'm feeling very happy that it's something I can keep in my back pocket as, like, you know, you can do it as a snack.
I love the idea of just a bunch of kidney beans in your back pocket, just like all wet and mushy.
Ew.
Sorry, you were saying.
Oh, I'm just saying, you know, you can do it as a snack or for dinner, you know, rice, beans and cheese and call it a day, right? It's very versatile. And I've tried adding a little bit, you know, I add a little bit of salt. I'll add a little bit of like chili powder, mild chili powder, but like something to add more flavor. So I feel like I can spice it up a little bit. But it's not earth shattering. It is just a like really practical thing that I want to tell people. If you are like at a loss for what to feed your toddler and they're doing this thing where they don't eat anything, like try canned beans. Just try them. Unfortunately, my BFP is specific because I've tried like garbanzo beans and I've tried black beans and those are like a no-go for some reason. I think he likes the size of the red kidney beans. You know, they're like just nice and big.
They're
and
meaty.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We said it at the same time.
We did. Does he love them enough that they could be a vehicle for hiding other foods, like very finely chopped carrots, let's say?
I don't think so. I mean, it would maybe pureed carrots around it, but he has great fine motor skills. I mean, they're just really spot on. Like, I've tried putting sprinkles on top of food, and he's so good at just getting that one little sprinkle off.
He gets what he wants.
So I'm not sure. But yeah, it's been a go-to for, you know, more than one meal this week, I feel like. So I wanted to bring it up.
Awesome.
Kidney beans.
That's a great tip.
The reason I actually even started doing it is I'll make chili for the family, like all for me and Corey, basically. And, you know, ground beef and onions and all that stuff. And I would just like set aside some kidney beans and some diced tomatoes and some ground beef for him because I've tried giving him the whole thing together and he's not interested. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the kidney beans were a hit. So now it's like a thing. I just buy cans of kidney beans.
Nice.
So there you go.
Does he like refried beans? My kids
nope.
like canned refried beans.
Nope.
What? They're nope. so good.
Nope. Won't touch them. Doesn't want anything to do with them. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing.
All right. Well, kidney beans it is.
Yeah. So that's my BFB. Shauna, what do you have? Do you have a BFB or a BFN? Is it black beans? It's black beans, huh?
It's black beans. No, it's pretty much as far as you can get from black beans. No. I have a BFP.
Okay, good, good.
Okay, let me start this by saying recently I got a Roomba, which is one of those robot vacuum cleaners, right? Mm-hmm. The round thing. And that is not my BFP. While I do like it, I actually find that it's not that practical with a family with kids and pets and stuff. Like, I'm constantly worried it's going to suck up Chili's tail because he just lays there and, like, can't hear very well. Like, it could sneak up on him and just, like, suck up his tail. And then, like, you know, you got to pick up toys everywhere for it to actually run. And so we've used it a little bit. But what it did do was get my mind thinking, because I was like, what I would really love is a robot mop, because I don't mind vacuuming. I like vacuuming with my Dyson. I hate mopping. Hate it with a capital H and an A and a T and an E. I have
with the clap emoji between each letter.
Yes. H A T E. Okay, I just had to do that. We've got hardwood floors, we've got some tile floors, we've got some laminate floors. They're all hard all over the entire house and they need to be cleaned, but I can't stand it. And so that got me going into Amazon and seeing what's out there. And I discovered a product that has changed my mop in life. I love it. And it makes my parenting life easier because it does the hard work for me. It's called the Bissell Spin Wave Cordless Spin Mop. In case you couldn't tell, it does some spinning.
If only they said that in the name.
It's got a couple of mop heads, or like circular mop heads on the bottom, and you turn it on and it's like, and these mop heads spin, and there's like a container that you can spray out floor cleaner as you go. And it propels itself. Like, I hold the handle and walk around and do this, but it's really calming. It's like the hum of it calms me down. I just love how easy it is to get like stains off of the floor. I just walk around and go psh, psh, and like spray some cleaner, and then these spinning mop heads go and like clean it up. And it's fast and it makes me a calmer mother, a happier mother, and I don't have to do a chore that I dislike. So I'm really into it.
But it's also a vacuum. It's a mop and a vacuum, kind of?
No, it's not a vacuum. I vacuum first.
Gotcha. So, okay, it's you vacuum first, and then you use this amazing spinning machine, and it wipes everything up, and you have gleaming floors.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's easy. I don't have to, like, put my body weight into some mop handle. I don't have to dunk a mop into a wet bucket. I don't have to throw away wet Swiffer head covers. Like, all the stuff that I just dislike about mopping does not exist with this product. So I'm very happy.
It's so funny because I am the opposite of you. I despise vacuuming, like, loathe it. And I love mopping. Like,
what?
I find mopping so satisfying. My favorite part is when you pour the water out at the end into your toilet and it's all brown and disgusting. Like, feels like I did something. And I follow Go Clean Co. on Instagram. I'm sure I think I talked about them, and I discovered like that whole thing. Have you heard of this, where like you just use hot water and a teaspoon of powdered Tide laundry detergent to clean your floors? And so now it's like I get so excited when I get to mop my floors, but I never get to mop them because I never get to vacuum them because I hate vacuuming.
That's a tricky, yeah.
I feel like I need to be like the inverse of you. I need to get a Roomba so I can mop there the floors more often.
There you go. See, I'm like you with vacuuming because I love emptying my Dyson canister and seeing how much dust and hair and everything. I literally every time I vacuum, I'm like, holy shit, Steve, look at this. Oh my God, it vacuums up so much. It's exciting.
Oh, we lead exciting lives.
We do. Don't be jealous, listeners.
What we should do is just like go to each other's houses. So you come over and vacuum.
Yes.
So I can mop, and then you vacuum your house, and then I'll come over and mop your house.
Oh my God, I would definitely do that swap. I would love to vacuum your house. It's a date.
It's a date. Oh, amazing.
Oh my God. All right. I think that's all for us today.
I think it is.
Okay, yes, cool, yes. Cool. Listeners, if you have any amazing facts about pregnancy, parenting, childhood games, anything you want to share with us that we can maybe use in our next Stump the Mom, reach out.
Laura, where can everyone find us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us a voice memo or just a regular email, send it to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join truly the most amazing group of people on the internet, search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community, request to join, and make sure you answer the two membership questions so I know you're not a robot. And I will send you straight through to all the super awesome conversations we're having in there.
If you love our show, please rate us and review us wherever you listen to podcasts and spread the word. Let your friends know about BFP. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.